This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show, and thank you so much for joining me today. We have listeners from around the world, and we appreciate all of you. You're here for episode 714, so thanks for joining us. I've got Fernando here with me, and we are going to talk about a two-for-one deal. Well, that's my deal, but then he bested me and got a three-for-one deal. Fernando, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jason. Nice to be on the show again.
Yeah. We haven't had you on for a long time, so it's great to have you back.
No.
You've been a busy guy, moving to Phoenix and leaving the Socialist Republic of California. How do you feel about all that?
Well, we love it. It's been quite an adventure. And, as predicted, the nice change that we have seen with pretty much everything we've touched so far is how much cheaper Arizona is compared to California, or I must say most states are compared to California. But it's just been a pleasure to pay $1.99 for gas and change over insurance and, everything that we've done so far. It's been cheaper here. Of course, the income tax is about half of the top rate in California. So
yeah, it's about 69% lower, yeah. I believe, based on the top rate of 13.3% in the Socialist Republic. Yeah, that's for sure. So I just want to say for those who don't know your story, you were a client of ours. You purchased quite a few properties. You've got about 70 units now. I knew you would get bored after you retired from Apple. And then you took the summer off, hung out in Brazil. You're Brazilian. Then you got bored, which I knew you would. I just knew you'd get bored. And then you said, hey, Jason, I want to work with you. And so you came to work with us as an investment counselor. I might be missing something in the story, but I'm just going to jump to the next part. You know, you've continued your investments. We're going to talk about that today. But also, we bought a little software company together last year, and that's Real Estate Tools, of course, that helps people evaluate and manage their real estate investment portfolio. Did I miss anything in that story, or did I hit the basic points for people who don't know you, maybe?
Well, those are the highlights. That's been an exciting adventure to be designing chips for Apple and then thinking that I would be spending most of my time, taking care of a garden in my retirement for corporate America. But instead, we've been doing a lot of tours and being more and more involved with your company and helping clients and coaching clients and then getting into the software business. Of course, the software is all about real estate investing or income property investing. So it fits right in. So it hasn't felt like a big switch from what I had in mind as I started doing the investing. I think that the software piece is a nice addition to it, but it certainly keeps us busy.
Yeah, definitely. And you're working on doing some nice updates. You're really leading that project because you have the background in technology, of course. And just to fill in the gaps for the listeners, you lived in Santa Cruz, California, in Northern California, and then, of course, worked in Silicon Valley at Apple, and then moved here. And I just want you to share, because I'm always talking about, and this isn't, we'll get to the investing stuff here in a moment, folks, but this is more lifestyle stuff. And I know that's why probably many of you are listening to the show to talk about improving your lifestyle through real estate investing. Fernando, as I've talked about the move, and we had Meredith Whitney on the show a while back talking about her book, The State of the States, I talk constantly about my move from California 5 years ago and just how pleasant it's been to live in a lower cost, lower tax jurisdiction. And one of the things, I'm not a parent, unfortunately. I'd actually like to be a father, but I'm not because I haven't found a wife yet. But one of the things that you keep mentioning to me, and you have two kids, you and your wife both keep mentioning how great the schools are here in Arizona and how pleasantly surprised you've been coming from this very expensive area in Santa Cruz and moving to this much less expensive area. Did you think you'd have to compromise in terms of school quality or spend a lot of money on private schools? You've just been so pleasantly surprised. I know. I just wanted to share that with the listeners.
Oh, sure. No, that would be a pleasure. So going back a little bit in time, when I was planning on achieving my financial independence through income property, one of the main reasons was to be able to live anywhere in the world and not necessarily live close to my employer, in this case, Apple's headquarters in Cupertino. And I lived, just to be clear, I lived in the Santa Cruz Mountains, not exactly in the Santa Cruz city, which means that I was closer to Silicon Valley than I was to the coast itself. So the issue on schools is kind of interesting. When we were looking at what places would we like to live, once I wasn't tied to my corporate employer, where would we like to live? So we started to look at school rankings, and there are different sites, different companies that do school rankings. But one of the most prestigious or trustworthy rankings is from U.S. News, and they do high schools and colleges and universities. And so we looked at their rankings, and we noticed that in this sliver of Arizona, which is really the East Valley, it's the portion east of Phoenix, all the cities from up where you are to down here in Chandler. What we found is 6 out of the top 20 schools, high schools in the country, are in this region, which was just, amazing. Basis in Scottsdale is the number 2 in the country. And the school that my kids are going to, which is Arizona College Prep, is the 13th best high school in the country. And the district itself is highly rated. And these are schools that are public schools, public charter schools that, obviously there's no cost associated with that as a private school. So what happens in California is, it's in many ways it's overrated, especially for the schools. Yes, you can have good schools in many of the areas, like I mentioned, Cupertino has good schools. But, a lot of the people that I know take their kids to public schools, to private schools, which there's a very large expense, especially, in these areas in California. So, it goes back to the cost in a lot of ways. You can get it's a much better value to be here and get an excellent education.
So that leads to my next question about this. And I just want you to, make a little bit of a leap here, because you mentioned it's amazing how inexpensive it is to live here compared to California. And of course, you talked about the quality of the schools. And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but I kind of bet, as you were talking, I was just thinking, I bet one of the reasons the schools are really good, I bet a lot of that is the Mormon influence. There's a lot of Mormon population in that area. And, they're pretty into education and community and stuff like that. So that may be it. I'm not sure. People might be listening, you wouldn't say this because you're so humble, but you're a hotshot real estate investor. You're a wealthy guy. I'll say it for you. You won't say it. You're a wealthy guy. You sold a bunch of Apple stock and bought a bunch of properties. You're up to about 70 units. Why do you care if the cost of living is low? I mean, why does that matter?
Well, I think you never. So prior to having the income from the properties, you remember that I've always complained to you in particular, and of course to a lot of clients and events that we've been to, that I've paid a ton of taxes throughout my career, and especially with stock options and, you know, just investing in the stock market, I've paid a ton of taxes. So one of the goals of switching over to income properties, because it's so tax favored, that I want to get some of that back. I think
it's the most tax favored asset class in America, right. As I always say. Yeah.
In some ways it's pretty interesting. You know, you can work really hard and really dedicate yourself, put in a ton of hours, try different things, and you know, once you start to make good money, then the tax percentages start to go up. So they'll take more and more of you. Now you can argue, of course, I've heard it, you know, any way that you can imagine the justification for this, but you know, it kind of sucks because you are looking at more and more of that money, that hard-earned money being taken. And
I don't object to it if it's so much better to live in a certain jurisdiction that you're willing to pay an extra 9% in tax, then fine. You know, you get value for it. And I think all of us, when we get a few more years under our belt, we just want value for our money. We know how hard it is to earn it. We know how hard it is to keep it if you're in business. Certainly, there are liabilities and everyone's trying to take your money from you. And I'm referring to litigation and the threat of that, or, divorce is a form of litigation. So there's lots of ways you can lose it. And you know how hard you've worked for it. You just want to get value for your money.
You want to get value, but there's also the other aspect of it is that, you know, money is always, it's like energy. It has to keep flowing and being invested. Otherwise, you know,
it becomes stagnant.
You're not growing. Yeah. It becomes stagnant. So if the money is all in play, you want to make sure that you pick investments that will give you the most yield back. And that includes how much you pay in taxes. You know, how much is the cost, the entire cost of that. And obviously, you know, having a family and having to deal with education and the cost of it, that's all also plays a role. And, you know, of course, the more sophisticated and the more people you know that are role models and have, you know, become wealthy, you take their lead and you watch what they do. And of course, they tend to migrate to places where it's more business friendly and where their money goes a longer way. It's just a smarter way to live.
And there's no shortage of stories about wealthy people moving from New York and California to Florida. Florida is a popular choice for that. And of course, Rush Limbaugh, Tony Robbins, a whole bunch of others I can't even think of offhand. And so that is important. Well, let's jump over to the investing side of it. And one thing you talked about is how money is energy and how you need to keep it flowing and keep it moving. And I constantly talk about that when I refer to the equity in one's home as being lazy equity. Look, if you owned a business, you wouldn't hire a lazy employee. And if you found out that they were lazy, hopefully you'd try to get rid of them, right? And, you know, you don't want your kids to be lazy kids. You want them to be productive members of society. Why, though, is it that we want to pay off our house and let our money become lazy? Because when you have equity in a property, it is lazy money. It doesn't do anything for you. There's no such thing as a return on equity. That's a metric that they use that some people talk about, which I believe is a faulty metric. It's a misnomer. There really is no return on equity. And if you want proof of what I'm saying, all you need to do is just look every January when you start getting the 1099 forms for all of your investments. You'll get them from your bank accounts, and probably the most interest you'll earn is about 0.8. What a joke. And you'll get them from, if you own stocks or bonds, you'll get these tax forms that say, look, here's how much money you made. Give it to your accountant. You know, we sent the IRS a copy, so you can't cheat on this, and pay your share of the taxes on this. But did you notice, everybody, that you didn't get any 1099 for the equity in your house?
It's still sitting there.
It's still sitting there. It's not doing anything. It's completely lazy. And this is true of investment properties or the home in which you live. So what we want to do is we want to make sure your money is always working for you and it's doing something. Money is just a form of energy. And with it, we can do a lot of good in the world. We can do a lot of good in our own lives. You know, maybe we'll, maybe just before we jump into the investment stuff quickly, Fernando, let's tell the little story about it. You know, I told it on the last show, but I recently bought a membership in a jet charter company. And I, you know, for all my life, I thought this is way too expensive. I'll never fly like this, no matter how rich I am, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's a new company that's kind of called the Uber of private aviation, right? And I was talking to you on the phone last week, and I said, I got this empty leg flight deal on a beautiful Challenger jet. This is a $36 million private jet. And I said, hey, Fernando, you want to go to Napa to the wine country? And you said, sure.
Sure, let's go.
And so we jumped on this $36 million jet and flew to Napa for free. You know, it's not free, but it's part of the membership, right? We got there, and then we drove down to San Francisco. The next day, we went to Kiva. And Kiva is this brilliant concept about microfinance, where basically what you do is you can loan, not donate, you loan money to people in developing countries, in third world countries, as little as $25 per loan. And I fell in love with the idea of microfinance many years ago. I've been loaning for a long time. And I just joined their matching donor program, they call it, where you put in a large sum of money and they make the loans for you and they manage the loans, because I don't have time to do them onesie twosies. So I give them $10,000 and I said, loan all this money out and let's see what it does in the world, and then I'll give you more. Okay. And when we were, their headquarters in San Francisco. So when we were there, I said to you, Fernando, hey, you want to go to Kiva with me? And we met with my rep. And what did you think about that? That's money is energy. You know, it's what you were saying.
Oh, it was a beautiful concept. I was inspired, honestly, in talking to them and looking at, you know, their offices. You know, the idea, as you've mentioned, is brilliant. You know, you know, giving stuff for free is usually a recipe for
disaster,
loss of efficiency.
Right.
You know, you don't get the best out of people by just giving stuff. You have to inspire them, and these microloans, you know, for the right people, it is just a godsend. It's just makes a difference on how if they can build a small business of some sort, or if they think they can grow. It's very difficult. Credit is extremely, people that don't live in the U.S. don't understand how difficult it is to have credit anywhere else.
Yeah, well, and you're from Brazil. You grew up in Brazil, so you can speak to that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then when you do, the interest rates are prohibitive. Mm-hmm. And there's a, you know, talking about, you know, loan sharks. And,
total loan sharks.
It's very difficult. Yeah. So these loans are beautiful incentive for a lot of people, and I'm definitely interested in looking more into Kiva and you know, watching what your experience is. You know, you've been very very happy about it, and of course to meet them in person is very interesting. And we know that the money is well spent. We have
they
a
charge
small
for
example.
Beer, yeah.
Exactly. They have a place where they have parties, social events for their employees, and they don't buy them beer. They, you know, the employees have to pay them themselves, which is good.
$3, yeah.
You, Jason's money's not going for that. So that's
I'm not paying for beer. Yeah, exactly.
No,
but, you
yeah.
know, this is one of the reasons to become successful. You can make your own life better. The people you know, the people you care about, you can make their lives better. But you can also make the world a better place. When you don't succeed, the world is denied a victory. So that's what we're all about here when we talk about real estate investing. It's a win-win-win deal. You're providing housing for people. You're doing what the government incentivizes you through the tax code to do. You're making a very nice return for yourself, because if you go to jasonhartman.com and you click on the properties page and you look at the properties and you see return on investment, and of course I have to say projected, because it is projected, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. numbers, you know, with projections of anywhere between 25 and 45% annually, with investments as small as $20,000-$25,000. You know, I mean, you can't do that anywhere else, right? Income property, the most historically proven asset class in the world. And Fernando, I just did another 1031 tax deferred exchange. It's also the most tax favored asset in America. I exchanged one property for two. I bought two more in Memphis for my portfolio. And you just one-upped me because you just exchanged one for three, didn't you? I tell you, you can't let me win, can you?
Well, I'll work on that next time.
Drag yourself down so you don't stick up. You know, it's the tall poppy syndrome. This is the problem in many other countries, right?
Yeah. No, this I'm happy about this, and I think we've discussed it in some of our meetings. The idea of refining to you die and getting, you know, extracting equity from your property and reinvesting. In some cases, we talked about having properties that that are in areas that have seen a large appreciation, such as the one that I did an exchange with, which was purchased in Naples, Florida. For these properties, it might make more sense, like in my case, to do a 1031 exchange and not do a refinance on the property.
And Fernando, if I can just interrupt you there for just a moment, I want to tee that up for the listeners. So look, the refi till you die is a great strategy, but it has a flaw. And the flaw is that if your property appreciates too much, it's probably going to be better to do a 1031 tax deferred exchange because your RV ratios get out of sync. Refi to die is great in these very linear markets. Great strategy. And if you don't know what we're talking about because you're a newer listener, just go to jasonhartman.com and type refi till ya, like YA, till ya die, and the slang version. And you can see lots of blog postings and lots of podcasts about it that you can listen to where we discuss it in detail. But the 1031 exchange, this property you had in Florida was kind of a highly appreciated property, made a lot more sense to sell it, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And I'll explain, you know, the logic behind it. The property, when I purchased it, I paid $148,000. And, you know, at the time, the rent was almost 1% of that value. It was $1,400. And over the years, I've only had one tenant there. I didn't raise it much. You know, this was one of my first properties, if not the first one. So they were paying about $1,440, and their lease was coming up back in June, a couple months ago. So when I looked at the market rates for rentals in the area, what I found is that the homes were their comparables were renting for about $1,800. So, you know, the increase would have to be a very large increase of $400 or a little less than that for the renters to stay in the property. And I knew that would be very difficult for them, and they'll probably wouldn't be able to, and I would have to have a turnover. But more importantly, the house appreciated a ton. It went from $148,000 to essentially $250,000, you know, appreciated over $100,000. From 2012 to 2016. Thanks for the the voiceover.
Yeah, little sound effects, right?
So because it appreciated this much, if we wanted to keep that same rent-to-value ratio, which is a very important metric when you're investing in income properties, you want to keep that 1% or more of rent to value ratio. So in my case, I would want to get $2,400 or almost $2,500 in rent for my property since it was worth about almost $250,000. And I knew that I could not, it was way above the market rents. In other words, the rent values have not caught up with the property values. And I think from your experience, you've noticed this phenomenon where the appreciation tends to lead and the rent prices, they lag. Eventually, they they catch up as a as a percent.
But it takes a while. Yeah, rents move pretty slow. So right. on my deals, the last three exchanges, except for the large one I did on a big apartment complex that was like $8 million, the last ones on the single family homes looked pretty much like this. They were about the same. Property sold for right around $215,000. It was purchased for around $150,000. And I sold one property and bought two more for right around the same price. I was in at about $200,000-$215,000 for those. But my cash flow went from somewhere around the $1,400 per month range up to $2,000-$2,100 range. Okay. So awesome. That's pretty significant. Yeah. How did your deal go? You said you bought it for, what do you say, $140,000 and then sold it for?
Yeah, I bought for $148,000. I sold for essentially $250,000. So that's a nice appreciation in 4 years. And the rent went from $1,440 a month to I am going to get three properties. And when you sum up the rents for these three new properties, the rent will be $2,285. So $2,285.
Okay. And which market did you buy the three properties in?
These are in Ohio.
Okay, so you're doing like the general kind of Cincinnati-ish area.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
It's sort of this big region that we're in there. So
exactly. Yeah, so I'm going to basically get more than $800 increase in cash flow, by doing a 1031 exchange. And
no tax consequence.
No tax, as opposed to doing. So going back to the refi, just to kind of close that idea. The reason I prefer to do this versus refi is because even if I refied, the property could not be rented for the 1% rent-to-value ratio, as I mentioned earlier. I would like to get $2,500 out of it, or the market rent is only $1,800. So I'll be leaving on the table. I'll be leaving money on the table, $700 on the table.
That's a lot to leave on the table,
Doesn't need to be there just because of the refinance. Now, you can argue that perhaps Florida still have a ways to go for the appreciation. But as we know, that's more speculation than, if I look at today and the value that I can get out of that money, this is definitely a better choice. The 1031 exchange is a better choice than to try to extract money from the property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great point. That's such a great story. So $700 a month in additional cash flow, no tax consequences because you deferred the gain. That's almost $10,000 a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
You look at what that does over the course of time. And that's what's so powerful about income property. People don't really notice what it's doing for them. It's just sort of chugging along in such a powerful way. And I liken it to, tortoise and the hare, right? And with the Olympics going on, maybe that's the best metaphor, but I was going to say a cruise ship. You get on a cruise ship, if anybody's ever been on a cruise, and it goes very slow. It's only going, 20 knots, right? But it chugs along and it keeps going 24 hours a day. And before you know it, you have a meal, you go out and have a drink at the, cruise ships are like cities nowadays, so they got multiple nightclubs and bars. And then you go to bed and you wake up and you have breakfast and suddenly you're at a distant port. It all just happened kind of behind the scenes. It's not like flying in a plane at 600 miles an hour, right?
Exactly.
But it's very consistent and very reliable. And that's what I love about income property.
Yeah, it was a great surprise to see, again, both. Sometimes when clients talk to us about different areas, we tend to present this difference between areas that tend to appreciate more versus areas that are more stable, more linear. And, we have the discussion of, you might want this for more immediate income, or you might want this one that will give you less income, but probably will appreciate a little bit more. That's the logic. But in some cases, like in my case, I saw both go up, both significantly go up, which obviously will allow me to diversify and multiply those the income portion of it, since I'm going to an area that typically is more linear than Florida, and that's what I expect is to get more cash flow not so much appreciation. So, yeah, it's great. It's my first Antonio exchange, so I'm really looking forward to it. And I have at least one more coming up over the next couple months, so we'll discuss that when the time comes.
Sure, sure. And so you've really only been a real estate investor for what, 4 years now, 5 years?
4 or 5 years, yeah.
Yeah,
starting
yeah.
to work.
And you've got your first exchange, you've got a whole bunch of properties, and we've had you on the show before where you've talked about some best practices and management and so forth, and I'd love to have you back to talk about some of that stuff. Fernando, I still think we need to do a show on self-management versus managing your manager. And of course, we're going to talk about that a little bit, along with a lot of software training at the upcoming event in Phoenix. This is September 10th and 11th, and it's at a resort location in Phoenix. So if you want to bring your family, this one would be pretty good for that. They've got a big pool. I think there's a lazy river. There's water slides. There's, you know, you've got kids, bring them. That'll be a fun one for them. Not Labor Day weekend, but the weekend after Labor Day weekend. I was confusing it with Venture Alliance trip, which is Labor Day weekend in Seattle. It'll be a great event. Do you want to tell people about that a little bit, Fernando, since you're working hard on the software and doing some nice updates to it?
Sure. So, we're looking at doing a duo event where not only you want to go over the basic aspects of creating wealth, which you're going to present. But Michelle and I, Michelle, of course, works with us in real estate tools and has been
And she's a client. See, we recruit all our clients for this stuff.
And it works really well because, you know, of course, the software, all of the apps and the property tracker software and real estate tools is made for investors. So, you know, I use the software, Michelle uses the software, I know you use it, and lots of our clients will use it. So we're going to have some great presentations. Michelle's going to go over a lot of the whys, you know, why would you want to use this particular software? How does it really help you, understand what a good investment is? You know, why would you want to try different scenarios to be a better investor and understand which areas work out better for you. So we have a great set of items that we're going to present. I'm going to be presenting metrics and charts from my own experience that cover the last few years and how my investments have progressed. This is data that gets generated by Property Tracker, which is one of our tools that we're going to be presenting at the event as well, and by producing data in spreadsheet format out of the software, we can create different graphs, and I can show the clients how to analyze the different graphs and which metrics make the most sense. We're also going to go over how to create basic Schedule E's for tax purposes, and how to look at lease calendars, and It's just shaping up as a great event. I mean, we're really looking forward to it. I know Michelle is spending quite a bit of time in putting together the presentation, and I'm going to be doing my part. And you also plan on doing quite a bit of local market specialist presentation, right, Jason?
Yes. I think we have four local market specialists flying in for the event. So we're having them fly in from their markets across the country, and they're going to present their properties. And we're calling this like a software and buying event. And it's a great chance to meet the local market specialist. Of course, the other types of events we do are property tours where they're in the market. And we actually wanted to do a property tour, but none of our markets have enough inventory. No single market has enough inventory of properties to support a tour. If we bring 40 people there on a bus, we won't have enough properties for them to buy in any one market. So we decided to do this event so that we could train people on how to be really good at analyzing and tracking their investments with software. And we have four local market specialists coming out so that they can present, and the sales will just naturally diversify into the four different markets presented based on the people that attend. They'll buy properties and they'll spread them out in those markets. And so that's the only way we could do an event because inventory is very scarce right now. There's just not enough good properties out there. That's one of the challenges we're really facing. So that's how we solved it with this. So, yeah. Fernando, we've got to jump off, but thank you for joining us. I think we kind of covered this pretty well, and we'll talk about more stuff on future episodes.
Sounds great. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Everybody visit jasonhartman.com, get your tickets for the event September 10th and 11th. Visit VentureAllianceMastermind.com if you're interested in the Venture Alliance, or talk to your investment counselor. We will look forward to seeing you at the upcoming events. And also for software, visit RealEstateTools.com or look in the App Store for your iPhone or iPad and check out Property Evaluator or any of our other apps there as well. Okay?
I was going to say one last thing. If people can bring their laptops to the event, that would be
useful
because we would be showing how to use the software. And if they have iOS devices and iPads and iPhones, and they can bring those and try out our apps real time as well. We don't support Android for the two apps, Property Evaluator and Property Fixer, but they certainly can do the evaluation and the tracking of properties with our property tracker software, which is an online web-based software.
Yeah, good stuff. And don't feel you have to bring a computer or an iOS device, because you don't have to. But if you have it, bring it along. It will definitely help. So good. We'll look forward to seeing you all on September 10th and 11th. Thanks for joining us today.
I've never really thought of Jason as subversive, but I just found out that's what Wall Street considers him to be.
Really? Now, how is that possible at all?
Simple. Wall Street believes that real estate investors are dangerous to their schemes because the dirty truth about income property is that it actually works in real life.
I know. I mean, how many people do you know, not including insiders, who created wealth with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds? Those options are for people who only want to pretend they're getting ahead.
Stocks and other non-direct traded assets are a losing game for most people. The typical scenario is you make a little, you lose a little, and spin your wheels for decades.
That's because the corporate crooks running the stock and bond investing game will always see to it that they win. This means, unless you're one of them, you will not win.
And unluckily for Wall Street, Jason has a unique ability to make the everyday person understand investing the way it should be. He shows them a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Yep, and that's why Jason offers a one-book set on creating wealth that comes with 20 digital download audios. He shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches you how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears, and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And this set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered for only $197.
To get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia Book 1, complete with over 20 hours of audio, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.